Hello, everyone. I'm so glad to be with you. I have missed this, haven't you? Big shout out if you missed this at Vincent's in Washington. Wow. It feels so good to be in the house of the Lord. You kind of get an understanding what David was talking about when he says, man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it really, really is. Listen, I know this is not normal for us, but I want us to pull out our phones. Pull out your phone if you have your phone. And what I want to do is share with our friends and family just for a moment that Bethany is back, okay? You can be the best ambassador for what's going on at Bethany Christian Church right now. Take a selfie, take an Usie with that hashtag Bethany's back. And just take a moment right now and do it. I'm going to take a picture of all of us with I'll put my mug in there, I guess, too. And everyone smile. There it is, okay. And we'll hashtag that Bethany's back. And go to your whatever social media site you love, Instagram, the Gram, Snapchat, I don't care where you go, wherever. And just shoot it out there. Let people know that we are back because we have missed this. Okay, I know, listen, nothing's normal anyway, so we might as well make that normal for us today. I mean, it's a new normal everywhere, right? It's a new normal. But I am so thankful that you're here because I have missed this. You have probably missed this as well. If you're still with us online, I'm glad that you've joined in and tuned in. Hopefully, as the weeks go on and you feel more comfortable to get out, I hope you can join us here. This room is full, and I don't know what's going on at Vincennes, but I'm so glad that you've joined in as well. And this is just something it's hard to explain. Can you believe that? I can't explain what I'm feeling right now. I have missed all but two of you in this room. But here's what I've learned along the 12th to 13 weeks that we've been apart. Do you know the last time I preached was in winter. And now we're approaching summer. We have missed all of our spring together. And here's what I've learned. Man, I don't know if you've learned this or not. Here is what I've learned. I have learned that the church matters. I have learned that this matters. That there's a faith fabric to us that is unexplainable. I have learned that a family of faith matters, and I have taken that for granted. And I don't know about you, but there's been some things that I've missed in my life that is with all of you in community that I just have taken for granted. Like, number one, I have missed in-person live worship music. How many of you have missed in-person live worship music? Guys, music is such a part of my life, and I know God loves it when we praise and sing praises to Him. You know, every time God's people got together and they had something joyous to do, they met together and they praised God through music and through, now catch this, dancing. Who knows what's on the agenda for us next? But praising God through worship and music and dancing. And what music has the power to do is it ties our head and our heart together. Like, all these ideas and these thoughts and these emotions that I have can creep right out of me when they come into song. Like, my emotional baggage leaps right out, right? All the good stuff leaps right out, and the bad stuff can leap right away from me, knowing that I can sing praises to God, and it just connects my head and my heart together. Did you know in heaven, there's going to be some singing? Now, listen, I know some of you aren't singers. You're like, that scares me. I don't want to sing the whole time in heaven. There's going to be a lot more to do than singing. But John the Revelator has this part where he saw a glimpse of heaven in Revelation 19. And here's what he says it sounded like when there was a unified voice of believers praising our God in heaven. He says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. Just that moment of unified voices, that moment that I never got in my living room because you weren't all there. And it didn't matter what Kelly and I tried to do, crank up the sound, sing louder, it just didn't have the same kind of results of what we just experienced in the last 20 minutes together. And we just have to pause and just, I think, do a big shout out to Jonathan and Josh and our musicians and singers and our tech people and our production people, because thank you, you guys are awesome. And yeah, I need this weekly in my life, and I don't know if you've discovered that yet. Like, I need this in my life. I didn't know I needed this in my life so badly. I didn't know I need Jonathan in my life so desperately, but apparently I need him in my life. And what I want to do is, and maybe you've recognized this about yourself, I want to challenge you, because if you're walking here the same way that you walked in 12 weeks ago, shame on you. Because you should be walking here saying, thank God for this privilege, because we lived in a time when we didn't get to do this. That's the first time in American history that that's ever happened. And you got to be a part of that. How did that feel? I hated every moment of it. And so my challenge to you is this: don't come in the same way ever again. Don't come in here the same way. That old pattern that you once had, forget about it. Make it better. Make it greater. I'm challenging you to make a greater commitment to community and in our worship, in our singing, in our praise of God. I'm challenging you to take one small step today better than you did just 12 weeks ago. Maybe you say, hey, I only attended church twice out of the month. Man, make it, just say, I'm going to do three times now. I'm going to do three times. You know, we just never really had, it wasn't an excuse. We just wouldn't go. We just wouldn't get ready to go. You know, Hebrews chapter 10 says it like this: let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, that day approaching as a reference to God's return. Listen, never in my life ever have I felt like God's return's around the corner than right now. And I'm just encouraging you to get into fellowship, get in community, let it warm your heart, let it liberate you from the stronghold that maybe sin has over top of you. And make this a priority of your week, week after week. And I know some of us have walked into this room time and time again, and we've just kind of settled in, and we haven't given it much thought, and we've just been like looking for distractions in the room. I remember like my second year of preaching at our old building, a bird had gotten into the sanctuary, and one older lady said, that was the best sermon I ever preached. Now, she was just waiting for a distraction to come into that room. Some of you are just waiting for a distraction. You love it when that old guy in front of you just starts to nod off. You're like, is he going to? No, he didn't. It's like a NASCAR race, right? Boring, boring, boring. Maybe there'll be a wreck sometime on Sunday morning. Change that attitude. Walk in here and anticipate, I'm going to get involved, and I'm going to participate, and I'm not going to be distracted by things. I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to give him this hour and 5 minutes of my time. Some of you walked in, you've just been a bystander to this place. Worship has just been a bystander. You've stood up when you're supposed to stand up. You've kind of watched on, but you haven't sung along. You're saying, Pastor, you don't want to hear my voice. God wants to hear your voice. God wants you. And you know, anytime that you're singing and praising God, you get to be an encouragement to other people as well. Take a small step in the right direction. Maybe the way that you need to do this is just have a level of preparedness as you walk into these doors. Like just a level of preparedness before you come. Maybe you start on Saturday, maybe you start early on Sunday, that you're going to anticipate something great and you're going to prepare your life for it. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 on the screen. Here's what it says: let us not give up meeting together. Nope, that's not what it says. It says, guard your steps. Talking head, man. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they're doing. Guard your steps. Be prepared. Like, just don't cavalierly walk into this sanctuary and just say, I'm here. God should be happy that I'm here. Because I know that's been the attitude that some of us have had as we've walked into a place like this. Now, guard your steps. Make a preparation for it. You know, I'm absolutely blown away. We go to a lot of Major League Baseball games, and I am blown away every time I see those ball players at the top of their game getting ready for the game that they play 162 games of. Like, they're playing catch, they're taking ground balls, they're doing batting practice, they're going through the motions. They're at the top of their game. 160, that is an athletic achievement just to be wore out like that and say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it again. You would think at some point one of those guys would wake up and say, you know what? Just another game. I know how to do this. I know how to hit. I know how to field. I know how to take ground balls. I don't need to stretch. I'm just going to put in 9 innings and then I'm just going to show up. But they don't. No, they think to themselves, this game is going to be a monumental game for my career. This game, I'm going to break a record. And so they train and they take on the game as though it's their last game. And it makes me wonder about some of you. Did you know that 12 weeks ago, that Sunday was going to be your last Sunday for a long time? And you look at it now, and do you just wake up out of bed and say, well, God should just be glad I'm here and paid him a visit and said hello to him before I head off to lunch? Or do you prepare and get ready for it? I don't know how you can prepare. Maybe for you, life at home gets a little chaos, so you have like a 10-minute drive, and you can just listen to some Christian music and get calmed down a little bit and just have that 10 minutes of prep before you walk in this place. For me, this is just for me. This is a personal thing. Getting dressed up, setting out my clothes on Saturday night. Yeah, setting out my clothes on Saturday night, ironing them, getting them ready, and just recognizing that I'm going to dress different than I normally dress because what I'm about to do is different for the week than what I normally do throughout the week. And I know God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart of man. I get that. There's no dress code here. But it's just something that traditionally I've been raised up in to say, look a little better than you do on Monday. Look better on Sunday. And give God something better. Give God something better, man. I don't know. I don't know what tradition you need to build up in your life that's going to bring a level of presentation that you're saying, I'm ready to go. I'm prepared for worship. But may I just also say, it's not just about preparation. It's about a bigger word, participation. Jesus said these words. He says, but the time will come, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, in spirit and in truth. In spirit means that there's activity involved, that there's participation in what you're doing. Yeah, there's activity. Like, you're going to sing, even though you're not a good singer. See, Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 19 tells us that there is incredible encouragement that comes when you sing, even though you can't sing a tune. It says, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from where? From where? From your heart. Not from your mouth, from your heart. And just let it kind of come on up and get out of your mouth. And you're going, but boy, you don't want to hear me sing. Now, you're probably right. But there's a ton of edification that comes to you when you sing and to those around you when there is participation in the room. Could you imagine if all of us showed up here today and the team led us in worship and everyone just sat silent and took it in? That's what you do. No, you don't even do that at concerts. You sing along with the band at concerts. And in worship, it's one of those things that ties our head and heart together and says, God, this is for you. And I don't know how to do it clearly. I don't know how to do it correctly. And everyone thinks I'm going to be sounding like a stuck pig here as I sing this out. But God, this is from my heart out of my mouth to you. And I'm going to participate as awkward as it might be. I'm challenging you to not do it the same way you did it before. I hope 12 weeks away has taught you that this is a very special thing that we could be a part of. You know what else I've missed? I missed the motivation that comes from a room like this. Just the motivation. Just the encouragement that comes from meeting together with other people of faith. You know, it could be like that quick word that someone just says to you, just off the cuff. They just have a word of encouragement that just hits you just right and just makes your day, makes your week. It could be something that's expressed in the sermon or scripture that is read that just hits your heart just right. Guys, it may just be walking through the building. Some of you walk through the building for the first time in 12 or 13 weeks. And you're like, this environment, this setting just puts me at peace. I need this sanctuary in my life. And I found that being here offers something that being in my living room doesn't. And that's just the motivation, the encouragement, just to live life on point for Christ. You know, I hear it like this from first-time guests often. They have an experience with us. They walk into this room for the very first time. Here's what they'll say. God is in this place. And you and I know we're mature enough in faith that we know God is not in a place. He's in people. But what they're ultimately saying is, boy, when people of faith get together, God is there. And that is so true. Like, you've experienced it. That's what the attitude of excitement was about, the emotions that came to you when you heard the live music and you thought, this everything about this is right. This is the rhythm of my soul right now. It's uplifting and it's recharging. I miss this motivation to go out and to be a light into a darkened world. And what you find every time when worshipers get together, worshipers who follow God get together, they do so in community and they do so at a certain place. Did you catch that? They do so in community at a certain place. So this Christian idea of I can go be alone in a deer stand and worship God, you can for a week, but not for many weeks. You're gonna need God and you're gonna need community together. You're gonna need community in a certain place. They met in tabernacles and temples and top of hills and people's homes and city streets and in countrysides. But here's the key. They met together. Did you catch that? Together. They didn't do life separately. They did that because there's so much encouragement that comes from this place, Christian encouragement. And encouragement is the oil to our engine. Some of you seized up in the last 12 weeks. You just flat out seized up. To the point where we get emails and text messages and phone calls from our pastoral team that we decided we need to do a series about anxiety right now. We need to do a series about insecurity and fear because there are people that were so faith-filled that were like fractured because of the things that we went through. Here's what Jesus has said about encouragement. He says, in this world you'll have trouble. That doesn't sound encouraging, but he goes on to say, but take heart, I've overcome it. There's the encouragement. God has made a way when we didn't think there was a way. Friends, some of you need to hear that today because we live in dim times. Well, I'll tell you what, you've got to be pretty foolhardy to believe right now that we're not living in some dim times. Pandemics, protests, provocateurs, injustice, riots, racial divide, a lack of civility, lack of morality, anarchy, just the spirit of Antichrist in the air. Can I tell you what, just from a personal side, it is a terrible time in American history where churches were shuttered and silent. It is a terrible time in American history because churches were shuttered and silent, and the devil, Satan, took advantage of that. From my spiritual insight, Satan took advantage of churches around the world being closed off and shut down. You say, well, the church was always together. No, we weren't mobilized. We weren't motivated to be on mission and vision. We were individualized and separated. And God never intended for his people to be that way. And Satan ran amok with it. Friends, what we do here is important for the encouragement that there is a dark world, but we are people of the light. And as people of the light, we realize we are broken people living in a broken world. And when encouragement is absent from our life, we start to lose hope. And we start to think that the darkness is winning and the darkness is going to overcome. But that's not at all what Jesus said. He said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Not Satan. And some of you have forgotten that because you've done this alone for 12 weeks. And you didn't have anybody proclaiming into your life. God has the victory. God is the light, regardless of how dark it gets. And it's true that when you stray away from the church, you stay away from the church. And I know that there'll be some people who have strayed away over the last 12 weeks, and they will stay away. They won't get back in the habit of it. But you can get back together. You can get it all back together when you get back together in community. Friends, I've missed the motivation. The motivation that says you can be a light in the darkness. I've missed the mobilization. This is what I've missed most as a preacher. The mobilization. Just the ability to meet together and get everybody on vision, mission, and purpose and head in the same direction together. We have lost the ability to mobilize over the last 12 weeks with acts of compassion. It was so difficult, wasn't it? Like, did you feel like you could just go knock on your neighbor's door and hand them something? No. We couldn't be a good neighbor in many ways. Not in the ways that we knew, and not in the ways that we had always exemplified. We had to change our ways, and it was so difficult to find a new pattern of behavior to love on your neighbor, love on your community, because you felt so closed off from everybody. And guys, I'll tell you, as a church, it was difficult to communicate to all of you. Like, it was so hard to mobilize everyone. We recognized that with the torrent of information that was out there on social media and emails. How many COVID response emails did you get from just a variety of companies? I ordered some lumber from a lumber company years ago. They sent me out their COVID response. I don't need to know your COVID response. I don't really care. To the point where all the COVID response things, I just finally just said, okay, any email coming in as COVID response goes directly to spam. So whatever you do, don't title your email COVID response to me. It's not going to get to me. I was just so tired because there's a torrent of information. And we recognized the church couldn't get through the clutter. We were drowning in all of the information. Everyone went to social media in those first few weeks. So much so that sites were falling dead. You remember they said the internet's going to break. Because we're all online now. We're all checking things out. And so the church only had a few threads of communication. And we decided to take our best shots with the ones that were the most important. And you know what that did? That put us in a position where we all begin to lose a little hope. Because we just weren't with each other. We just weren't mobilized. Remember Jesus has said these words about the church. He says that the gates of hell will not overcome us. Will not overcome the church. You know what gates are? Gates are a defensive structure. Gates are used to close up the city walls so the enemy can't not get in. And Jesus says that hell has the gates. Hell is on the defense. That Christians are on the offense. And we're the ones taking ground. But friends, since we weren't mobilized, since we weren't motivated, I'll tell you what, it didn't feel that way, did it? Felt like Satan was taking ground. And now it's time to take that ground back. It's time to get remobilized again. And that's what I'm most excited about. To get everyone on vision and mission and purpose. To get lost people saved and saved people pastored and pastored people trained. And trained people mobilized to go reach more lost people. so that hell gets scared again. Because the people of Bethany Christian Church have said, no more, no longer. We will not be shuttered and we will not be silent. Hell will not win. Darkness will not overcome the light. We are motivated and we are mobilized now to go make a great name for Jesus Christ and win people over to him. Doesn't that sound fun? I'm ready to get back to it. God's people assembled together with our marching orders on task to take more domain for the kingdom. You know, the Apostle Peter was put in a position like this where he looked around at what was called the diaspora. It was called the scattering of the Jews. Jews that were Christians, and he was charged by God to take all these people that were in different areas of life, in different places, in countries, and get them all together again and turn them into one group. And that was so difficult for him because he recognized that when people were scattered, he couldn't mobilize them. He couldn't put them on mission. And he had to rally them together so that they could do acts of mercy and do outreach. I think of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, who he recognized that the city walls of Jerusalem, God's holy city, were crumbling. He recognized that they were crumbling because no one of faith cared. And when no one of faith cared, he was broken and he cried out to God. Can we just have a faithful remnant of people that will love God and care about his holy city and make a name for God once again? Can we just mobilize the people to do ministry again? And he called out to the nation of Israel to come and repair the city walls, and just a handful showed up. But when they showed up, God did something powerful through them. The city walls of Jerusalem were rebuilt in less than 52 days. Friends, that would be a modern marvel today, even with the construction equipment that we have. It just goes to show you that when God's people are mobilized, God blesses the unity effort, and God will make sure that what we think is impossible can be done and be made possible in his name when we get mobilized together. And what I miss most is being mobilized for ministry, to reach out to our communities, to reach out to our region, to our nation, and to this world with the namesake of Jesus Christ, so that his name will be proclaimed, so that people will come to faith, and that more ground for the kingdom will be taken. Friends, I'm waiting for God to do something near impossible through us as we live on mission through the message of Jesus Christ. You know, I think about the early church of the book of Acts. In the early church of the book of Acts, they had believers at one time that just kind of stopped living for God. They cowered in their homes because of fear of persecution. But when the Spirit of God took over, they said, no longer will I be silent, and no longer will I be shuttered in. And they got motivated to do something special for God, some kind of ministry. And then that motivation, they got mobilized. And in their mobilization, they became an unstoppable force for God's kingdom. Acts chapter 4 gives us an insight to what that looked like. It says all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Even if it was their last roll of toilet paper, they shared it. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Notice that no one was in need, and since no one was in need, what could they do? They could mobilize to get ministry done. We don't have to worry about needs now. We just need to do ministry. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. All that there were no needy persons among them. No need. It was all taken care of. People were mobilized. People were put into a place where they were encouraged and motivated to do ministry, and nothing held them back. Not political divide, not racial divide, not a pandemic, not a government's regulations or recommendations. Nothing held them back. They said, we are citizens of heaven. And we're followers of God. And I'm going to mobilize and do ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things I am most excited about is getting back to vision, mission, and purpose with all of you. I'll tell you what I've missed. And I've missed watching the movement of God, God's Holy Spirit in people. Okay, I know what's happened. I know what's happened. I just didn't get to witness it. And I have missed people coming to faith daily. And maybe you have missed watching people publicly declaring Jesus is Lord, repenting from sin, going into a watery grave and coming up filled with the Spirit of God. I've missed that. Not to say that hasn't been happening in your life. I know God's been moving in your life. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to witness it, isn't it? And I just can't wait to see how God's been working in your life and the steps that you need to make, and you just saying publicly, I'm going to take some steps of faith. I have missed commitments being made for Jesus. I've just missed that. Like, okay, we've gotten letters, we've gotten texts, we've gotten emails, we've gotten all sorts of messages that God's been working in life. We've got great messages about people tuning in to a church online, and they have never stepped into a church home in decades, and they say, hey, we're coming to Bethany now. We really are loving what we're hearing, and we want to get in tune with this God that you're proclaiming. Like, that's all good stuff. But man, I just want to witness it firsthand, don't you? I just want to witness it. And I know God's been doing something through you and producing some kind of fruit. I can't wait to see what that is. And maybe today is a day of salvation for you. You take that step of faith and you say, I'm not going to sit anymore. I'm going to give my life over to Jesus, and I'm going to give myself over to him, and I'm going to walk out of here today as a believer and someone of faith. I'm going to live for him today. And you're going to be baptized today. I don't know what it means for you. But I know God's been working, and I trust that God's been working in our time apart. A couple weeks ago, I was asked to speak at a church on a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. And it was an outside service. My wife and I were there, and one song of worship had happened, and it started to rain. And I thought, well, you know, they'll probably stop, and we'll just not have services. No, they continued on. And what happened was they cut their worship short and said, hey, guys, let's welcome our guest speaker, Matt Merrill. And I had to get on stage, and it's starting to rain a little harder, and then it started to downpour about the middle of my introduction. Well, they had umbrellas, and so they put the umbrellas up. I'm thinking, we stop, right? This is what we do. We stop, right? My notes are wet and ruined. My Bible was ruined. I was just dripping like a wet dog. And they're like, no, keep on going, preacher. Okay. And I'm just looking for anybody just to stop it. And finally, about 7 minutes in, someone who has some authority just does this from an umbrella. Okay. End it. Like, this is just wrong. And is downpour and quagmires everywhere. We just ran out, and they said, we're canceling service. We'll see you back Sunday morning. No big deal, but I thought, you know, I haven't preached in 10 weeks. My voice wasn't really that strong. Oh, God, his precious voice was not that strong. I know what you're all thinking. What a wimp. So I had lost my voice in the middle of this thing, and I had to go preach the next morning. And there's only about 200 people there. There's thousands of people who are tuning in online. And because I was hoarse, I had to yell. And I just had that scratch to my voice, that yell to my voice. If you've ever been in a forced service here, you kind of know what I'm getting at. And it was very authoritative, not what I wanted. I got down off the platform after I'd done preaching, and I said, honey, that was awful. And we probably need to consider giving the honorarium back. And she said, that was awful, but you're not giving the money back. She's honest. And we had left that church, and we had made our way home on that Monday, and I just thought, that was, you know, a waste. And Thursday, I got a call from one of the elders. Anytime you get a call from an elder, it's never a good thing. And so I'm thinking, oh, this is not good. Why is he probably wants the honorarium back, and realizes, You've done better work. I've heard it and I've seen it, and that was not your best work, so give it back. Kind of. And I thought, he's not going to be happy. And so I made the phone call back to him, and he says, hey, buddy, you just need to know this story. He said, I play tennis every morning with an old guy that doesn't go to church. He's never been to church. He's about 80 years old. He's an old, crusty Marine. He tuned in on Sunday, and I thought, uh-oh. And he heard you speak with authority. And he didn't want to play tennis that day. He wanted to talk about Jesus. And I just want you to know, tomorrow I'm baptizing him. Yeah. Friends, God is still at work even though we don't see it. And he uses us even when we think we are not at our best. And you might have looked over the last 12 weeks and thought, man, we were not at our best. We were shuttered and silent. But I have this hope that God has used it. And that this darkness, this dimness that we see right now in our world, that we get motivated and we mobilize. and we take it back and more for the kingdom of God. What do you say?